Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Austin Rock, of their WrestleMania trilogy, this was in many ways my favorite. I know people love the 17 match, but goofy finish and it was a rematch. I love this one, man. This is like peak Austin, you know, insanely over, you know, Rock doing his thing as a heel. And as you know, these guys were just magic together. There was just something about the two of them in the ring together. I don't even know if I can name in the history of wrestling five other combinations that were like this. Like you may say, hey, Hogan and Savage, or Hogan and Warrior, or Hogan and Andre, right, were like magic. You know, you may say, hey, I loved Foley and Triple H. I loved Austin and McMahon, Bret and Shawn. But there aren't that many, to me, at least in my fandom and the stuff that I've watched, too many combinations that hit quite like this. You know, why did you pick this, and how do you feel about these two?
This was a swap out. I forget what I had here, but especially after the Rock's return a couple months ago now, and you know what played out with that, and kind of seeing what happened. You know, I think that it was just, you know, why not? You know, there's always the Austin rumors, and you know, that's kind of always out there. And this is just one of the part of this one I was looking through. I was like, shit, have we not covered this one yet? Like that was part of it too. And I was looking through and I was like, yeah, we got to do this one, plain and simple. And so I don't know why. It might have been too, because this was, I say, a late, or typically WrestleMania is in April, so when I kind of looking at it, I may have overlooked it. But you know, there's no reason not to cover this one, plain and simple. Like, that's really what it boils down to. It's WrestleMania season. It still is. Like, this match is just too good to not do. Yeah.
Agreed. I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do this, man. I'm excited to talk about this one.
Yeah, me too. I really am. And there'll be no shortage of stuff to discuss during this. So I say we get right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, so WrestleMania 15. And, you know, this was an interesting show. You know, as we know, we've kind of bounced into some different venues, still an arena. You're in Philly. We're trying to do this in, you know, big cities. March 28th, 1999, there's 20,000 in the arena, jam-packed, shit ton of energy, major show. You know, an interesting show. So we start out with a couple dark matches, Jacqueline and Ivory in a minute, D'Lo and Test against Draws and Godfather in 4 minutes. They were actually in a little battle royal of sorts, mm-hmm. to determine the tag title defense. So, whatever. All right. We get to the show. We open up, and this is an interesting match to open up the show. Hardcore Holly is going to win the Hardcore Championship in 7 minutes, defeating the champion Billy Gunn and Al Snow. We then get Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett defeating D'Lo Brown and Test, who earlier won that tag team battle royal, in 4 minutes to retain their titles. One of the most infamous moments in pro wrestling, Butterbean defeats Bart Gunn in 35 seconds to win the Brawl for All. Did you watch the Butterbean thing yet I sent you?
DDP Yoga.
Strikes again, huh?
Saves his life, man. Yep, every time.
How about that one? That was, yeah, I mean, Butterbean had given up. He was in a confined to like a wheelchair, and now he's training to box again. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Insanity, yep.
And I don't know how long it took, but I mean, it seemed like pretty quickly he did that too, which is unbelievable.
I felt better after like a month, like plain and simple, like that. That's how quickly I started feeling better when I was doing it. Yeah.
Mankind defeats the Big Show by DQ to be the special guest referee in the main event in 7 minutes. Yep. This made no logical sense for multiple reasons.
Yep.
So Foley was your champion going into the show, you know, him and Rock with the title and blah, blah, blah. And we get this. And it just, there had to be a better way to use Mankind on this show than a referee and then Big Show. Now, Big Show just enters. We got this 7 foot bastard that's really athletic. And what do? He should have beat the shit out of someone on this show. Pick someone, right? Like, how do you do that? Or have him beat The Undertaker, right? I mean, and get a big win. I mean, anything I think would have been better at the time to use him for. Anyways, Road Dogg, your IC champion, and was not a fan of Road Dogg as IC champion because it's the working man's title, but he defeats Goldust, Ken Shamrock, and Val Venus in 10 minutes. You start going through these matches and you realize the Attitude Era, as fun as it was, there were a lot of wrestling on here. Kane defeating Triple H by DQ in 11 minutes. Sable retaining the women's championship over Tori in 5 minutes. Shane McMahon retaining the European championship over X-Pac in 8 minutes. Undertaker defeating the Big Boss Man in a horrible Hell in a Cell match with a weird finish.
We'll cover it one day, not today.
Yep. Yeah, just, I mean, again, the Attitude Era was not as good as we remember. You've heard me say that before, but I'm telling you, just, I mean, the talent's there, but it's like the booking and the short matches. And I like what I see now better. I like less matches. Give me 10, 15, 20 minutes. Really, really good build. I like that better than all this car crash bullshit. And then the main event, Steve Austin, Rock, no DQ. Mankind's your special guest referee. Corporations banned from ringside. Should be a fun one. Jeff, how do we get there?
Yeah, so this match, WrestleMania 15, taking place March 28th, 1999, but we got to go all the way back to the Royal Rumble in 1998. Very long build on this one. And so this was, of course, when you had the McMahon Austin kind of, you know, going back and forth. You had the, you know, just really McMahon doing everything. We all kind of remember this, everything he could to, you know, take Austin down. You had the brothers, you know, Kane and Undertaker, and that match, and, you know, because they're both pinning and vacating the belt. And so you had that angle early on this. You had the Deadly Games tournament at Survivor Series that you had The Rock and Mankind and the kind of turn on that one with McMahon, you know, picking the Rock to win that, you know, Shane the referee, like just, you know, all kinds of shenanigans going on there. While the Rock, you know, feuding with Mankind, you had that Austin and McMahon in the Royal Rumble in 1999. So we're getting a little closer at this one. And so, you know, had the Buried Alive match with the Undertaker as well too. You know, Austin having to come in first at the Royal Rumble with McMahon coming in 30th, you know, and then Michael's stepping in, like, just, there's so many moving pieces to this.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's a lot of the Attitude Era that is not remembered finally, but this story to get over a year build, like all this different stuff, you know, what, however you feel about Vince McMahon nowadays, like this was, you know, really incredible storytelling at the time. You had as well too, at that Royal Rumble, he had the bounty on Austin's head as well too, if you remember, and it was the $100,000 bounty, just all kinds of different stuff. And so, And kind of how that playing out. Then he had Michaels, kind of how, you know, McMahon with the Rumble and saying that he was going to relinquish his spot, but then it would go to the runner up. And so if that was the case, it would have been Austin. So then Austin would have got it. So then you had the Valentine's Day Massacre Steel Cage match, which we've covered before. Go back in the archives for that one. And so that was, like you said, Mankind and Big Show. That was when Big Show debuted. So not that long before this. And so, yeah, just a lot of moving pieces. And so Austin winning that match, though, because of course the cage, I say, breaking, kind of falling open. So we had that. So yeah, just ton of moving pieces, but really good stuff. That, you know, we could spend 2 hours talking about how we got to this match, but like I said, that's the Cliff Note version. Just a lot of really good stuff to enjoy as we're kind of going through it. But yeah, I'd say, you know, just let's get to the match and do that, because I think that's kind of the next best thing to do.
Cool. I'm ready when you are. We are at the 2-hour and 22-minute mark of WrestleMania 15. 2-hour 22-minute mark. Are you ready?
Let's do it, man.
All right, it's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, hot start, talking shit at each other.
Immediate, yep.
I mean, the intensity, and yeah, I think there was a little bit of professional animosity, I mean, in a good way. But I mean, these guys, just two alpha males, hyper, hyper competitive. I mean, you can't start off every match like this, but in the right match, it's great to start it off just super, super hot, go straight for a brawl. This doesn't need to be a 45-minute match. It needs to be like a 15-minute just intense match, which is what we're going to get here. So love the way we start off. The Austin coming out to a t-shirt thing was so weird at the time. And of course the backstory was he forgot to pack his vest. So that I always remember him coming out and I'm like, why is he wearing a t-shirt? Is he just trying to sell this t-shirt? Cause it wasn't even a great t-shirt. It wasn't even the Austin 16 one. It was like the rattlesnake one. It looked incredibly stupid.
I saw a guy too. And it's kind of funny that this even happened. I was checking out at the grocery store and I don't know how the guy had this or why he had it, but like, you know, the old Livestrong bracelets, the guy had an Austin 316 like wristband bracelet on. And I was like, I had to double check to make sure it wasn't like a John 316 bracelet. And I was like, dude, and I was like, where'd you get that? He's like, oh, I've had it forever. And I was like, that's really fucking cool, man. Like, and so I couldn't believe that. And so I appreciate the fandom there. Yeah. And kind of what he's doing.
So we're out in the crowd, man. I mean, they're like, they're 30 rows they're
in the heart the of it. Yeah.
Yeah. There is just, I mean, people everywhere. There's really very, very little security. I mean, I don't think they would do this now. Fans just swarming them. I mean, there actually is no security. There's just the ref.
Kyoto can't even get to them. Yeah.
The people are all there. I mean, this is wild. I mean, there is no security. There is a building guy in a sweater. So, I mean, that really good
stuff.
They're
like up in the 200s, too. They've like walked all the way through. Yeah. Like,
or that really good 100s. Stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we're just cooking here. I'm always a fan of the no DQ main events because.
Which this is, yes. Yep.
Yes, we know we're not going to get like any screw job. I mean, I guess we could, but it, you know, would at least not break the rules. We're not going to get a DQ or count out finish. It allows you creatively to do a lot more. You want to break a table or anything else. Now we're on the other side. Again, we're still fighting in the crowd. The visuals of this, I mean, this like overhead camera are fantastic. So a lot of fun there. Really good start.
I told you before this match started, we were getting set up though. It feels small. I think that's one of the only complaints I have, and that's not their fault. But this was also just a sign of the times. Like it's still an arena.
Like the entrances feel small. Yeah, it feels like a normal pay per view. I mean, yeah, it's WrestleMania, but I know. I mean, it's not the pageantry. It's not Philadelphia, choir singing the rock song to bring them out. I mean, like the shit just always feels bigger. Yeah, they're just.
I'm looking even for, and so this, they're playing at Wells Fargo, or playing, they're at Wells Fargo, which is where the Flyers, 76ers, like they all, you know, that's where they're still currently playing. I'm trying to see, like they listed the attendance at this one as 20,000. And so, but it's just, it feels so small nowadays, like, you know, just kind of how they have it. So, oh, that looked painful, kind of throwing them back onto the part of the support beam for the entrance. Yeah. Austin's knee hitting. Yeah, but like that's my only complaint, like, so far, like, you know, to have these two caliber of wrestlers out there, it's just impressive to me. So yeah.
Well, especially now, because we're seeing so many arena shows right now. We're seeing in a given year, I mean, you know, you're getting Rumble, you know, you're getting two WrestleManias, you're getting a SummerSlam, you know, you throw in the Saudi shows and a couple of overseas shows. You're now talking, you know, you're in this era, you had no stadium shows. Now you're getting eight a year, which is just insane. But it's, I mean, it's good. And you know, the beauty of it is, if you're going to try to fill a stadium, you can't put on a shitty show.
Yeah.
It may not be a great show, but like, you need the stars, you need the big matches, you need the build. So it, I mean, it, for they can't have a B pay-per-view. They can't have a bad, you know, show. It's like they have to, I mean, if you're going to go to Australia, if you're going to go to Paris, if you're going to go to the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, or not Puerto Rico, like, if you're going to go to these places, you got to deliver. And they do.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a great time to be a fan.
When was the last time, and I don't remember, like, when was the last time we had a bad show? We haven't.
Oh, it's been years.
Yeah.
I mean, a bad, and again, considering that it's free, the threshold's different, right? So you may say, Fastlane was okay, but Fastlane was free. Therefore, it was awesome.
Yeah, there might
maybe
be a match here or there.
At $50, but then every show's been good.
You know, it may not be like, you know, what, you know, it may not be, or there might be a match, or the card might need to be restructured a little bit after the fact. Like, you know, I think all of a sudden there's like, you know, the women's Rumble better than the men's or something like that. But, you know, it's just, you know, kind of looking at those types of things. But yeah, I think that it's just, I will never go back to that. I know that was that. I know, like, vocally, Nick Khan has said that this is what how he's wanted to set it up. And sure enough, that's what we're getting. And so, just massive, you know, leading to all of the different things that they've done. And so, yeah, it's incredible. And so, I did want to talk, we haven't talked about it. Wrestling is fake, as you all know, and I know we've seen more and more lately. I texted you about it, but these reporters that, you know, wrestling is fake, and then you get the wrestler that goes off on them.
Yeah.
What are your, like, I you know, I have thoughts on this, and then, you know, Austin Theory did it, you know, you had, you know, the Grayson Waller did it or whatever. Like, it's just, is this beneficial to get into this argument? I think you and I talked a little bit about they need some better media training sometimes, especially you blurring the lines with a character versus not. Like, what is it working for them? Go ahead.
So I think, you know, in general, I love being disruptive. Okay. So I'm not the type that says, hey, everything should be corporate and buttoned up, and, you know, every athlete should give, you know, canned answers that are, you know, PR acceptable. I mean, I like when, you know, the NFL player pops off. I like when the NBA player, you know, says some controversial stuff. I have no problem with that.
Yep.
That being said, it almost always is a really, really bad look for the pro wrestler to, you know, get mad and get defensive of, oh, this is all you do is you feed into the stereotype that wrestling is lowbrow, trashy, awful, you know, entertainment. So when I see the Austin Theories, yeah, at first I'm like, good, tell that reporter to stick it up his ass. And I, you know, am really, really, you know, happy that he's standing up to the wrestling business. But by the end of it, I'm like, dude, you make the business look so trashy. You make it look like it is not anywhere near a professional sport. You make people not want to advertise on it or be anywhere near for it. So it's bad for the business. Mm-hmm. And it's when a reporter says it's fake or says, hey, does this really hurt? You have to bite your tongue. and either say something self-deprecating or ignore the question or do whatever you want. But, you know, you have to say, yeah, you know what? I've never been hurt. I'm never going to get hurt. And I'm probably going to do this until I'm 80 years old because it's so fake. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, right? Like you have to do something else other than I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Well,
yeah,
you're 6'3", yeah. You're jacked up, you're in a gym for hours a day, and you're saying that to a 5'6" reporter that probably can't throw a football 10 yards as a spiral.
That week, you got to sign this report. Yeah.
It makes you look bad. Yeah. Austin kicks out of the rock bottom. By the way, a side note on this match, this was what I remember as the first time where finishes were being kicked out of in a wrestling match.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
This is the first time I know it's happened before, but this is the first time where I thought they did the, you know, 8 false finishes, kick out of finishing moves. I don't ever recall it happening before this match. I remember watching it live and I thought it was awesome, but of course it's been done to death. So, your thought on oh my God, Keona just took a nasty
huge chair shot. Yeah.
Chair shot to the head. They're still brawling. Okay.
The Rock pulled Keota into the way.
But yep. What did you think? Same thing. Did you have a different impression?
When you first said to me,
I'm like, good, that's awesome. And then by the end of it, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I'd be furious with him if I were with WWE.
Yeah, I think they're, because the random reporter isn't talking to that person necessarily in character. They don't know how to deal with that. And so I think Austin Theory did it right in answering in character, if that's what he was doing. But also the random viewer doesn't know that. And so, so I think that's where it becomes difficult. Like I said, whether it's, I don't know if media training fixes that, but also and part of it too is, the reporter may have just been antagonistic to be like, I'm going to keep saying it's fake. It's fake. It's fake. It's like, well, it's not though. And so, because he did make some points and that's the one I'm thinking of specifically is like, because the reporter says all the punches are fake. And it's like, well, no, that is if you say, oh, well, it's scripted, that's different because they hire writers. We all know that there's creative teams. But on the flip side, to be like, hey, like the bumps and the moves I take, like that's real. Like, I could do that to you and you would feel it like the next day or for the next week, whatever it is. And so, I know you and I have talked about too, what moves would we take, or would you take a certain move for $50,000 or something like that? And some of them, yeah, I would, because I know the wrestler would protect me. There's some spots, no, I would never do. But at the same time, it just depends on what's happening. It doesn't mean I wouldn't feel it. It doesn't mean it trying to diminish what's happening. It's just, that's how it is. And so, I think that it's such a weird line. I do think that they need to do something to address it, because there's always going to be people that feel that way. Like, wrestling's not real. It's like, well, like, yeah, it's also like, yeah, who was it? Van Fleet or whatever it is, calling out the one guy who was like, yeah, it's not real. But I think we talked about this before. Neither are movies. Neither is TV. Like, it's scripted. Like, that's what you're watching, is a scripted program. Like, it doesn't make it any less engaging or, reason to talk about it. Like, you don't have, as far as I know, and this isn't the bubble that I live in, like, there isn't podcasts that talk about the week to week of a soap opera. Like, there might be, but I feel like at least in our bubble, there's a whole lot more to talk about wrestling on a week to week. And, there's conventions about this stuff. I don't know if there is for soap operas, and I'm not trying to put that down because.
Yeah, the Housewives of, Des Moines and all that. They do the BravoCon.
That's right.
I heard you couldn't get a hotel room in Vegas that weekend. It was insane.
The only one I know is off topic, the Vanderpump one, because they have that really cool bar in Vegas.
They did BravoCon at Caesars.
Okay, yeah. See, so if it has that kind of following too, why shit on it? Like, okay, so it's not your thing. You don't have to watch it every week. Like, I don't watch it every week. Like, that's just how it is. You got Tim White in there now too. Very close. It was 2.9 seconds on that kick out there. Yeah.
I mean, this match is just excellent. I mean, is just fantastic. You got a bunch of people standing up. Hey, what star rating do you think Tim White about to take a rock bottom? I mean, this thing is chaotic. We still don't have Mick Foley out yet. Because the angle is that Mick Foley got hurt against Big Show. So that's why he's not out. Okay, yeah. So Stunner. This is when Rock was taking the dramatic stunners. Here comes another ref.
Hebner. Two. Nope. Kicked out.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd's going nuts. I mean, this is phenomenal. What do you think Meltzer gave the KO Austin match?
2.5.
It was 3.5. But isn't that like the best example of how stupid the star rating is? Because that headlined WrestleMania, there isn't one person out of the 80,000 that were there that didn't go home with their heart pumping at that main event.
Yep.
It was iconic. Like, that's 3.5 stars. So you're going to tell me a 3.75 star match is better than that?
Yeah, there's just
Come on. Like that, I'm not saying it was 5, but like to me, if you want to use that star, that was a 4.5. I mean, dude, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Like the pop for that? Is there a what pop is bigger than Steve Austin? There isn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so Vince in the ring now beating the shit out of Austin.
They knocked Rock out Hebner also too.
Joining in. Yeah, here comes Mick Foley. He's holding his ribs. He's looks coming great. In to help out.
That shitty ref shirt.
I mean, this was like for a WrestleMania main event. Man, was this chaotic. And I know that was just the era. This is just what they were doing, right? But pretty absolutely. Wild.
Could this a quick roll up? 1, 2. Nope, kick out. Could a finish like this work nowadays? Like I say, the chaotic kind of finish. We're pre WrestleMania when we're recording this, so we don't know what's going to happen. But I like. Would you be happy with like? You know, you figure. Go ahead.
I think if you did this right now, here's what I think. I actually think two different things. I think a lot of people, okay, here comes a rock bottom. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I always felt like Austin took a great rock bottom because he always looked like dead weight. So now we got the rock bottom. Now we're going for the people's elbow.
Mm-hmm.
So two things, Jeff. I think if they did something like this now, I think fans would really enjoy it. Yep. That being said, I feel like it would get destroyed by the internet wrestling community.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they would go, oh, this is so fake and gimmicky. Okay, so another rock bottom. Nope. Okay, Austin's reversing. Oh, okay, so Rock. So he missed the kick. 1, 2, 3. There you go. So Austin famously missed the kick on there. Insane. Not that, I mean, if you were live, you didn't even notice.
You wouldn't care. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. But dude, look at this crowd. Woo. I don't mind the chaos. I don't need that at every main event. But like, if you're going to get that once or twice a year, I have no problem with it. I love this. Yeah. What'd you think?
Yeah, absolutely. This was great. Like, especially knowing what we know and how long the build was and how we got here. Like, yeah, just absolutely fantastic. Yep.
All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Really, really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, hard to beat. You're going to use the fans as a barometer, I mean, they couldn't be going any more crazy. Austin is as over as anyone. You know, watch the end of every WrestleMania. There's not going to be that many where you're like, okay, that's that's what the crowd, I mean, you know, this is about as good as it gets. You know, again, it hits differently in an arena, but mm-hmm. I loved it, man. I thought that was phenomenal.
Yeah, it really was. And it was interesting because they always think a lot of times about WrestleMania kind of resetting, and I hope they do that this year a little bit more. But this feud actually continued, which I feel like is, I mean, if it works, it works, but it's still a little weird too.
Their match at Backlash the following month was off the charts as well.
Yeah, and that was actually for the Smoking Skull belt at that point, and trying to get that back because you can see he's got the Winged Eagle in this one. But and that was when Shane, the Rock retained, you know, it just beating the Rock for the championship after that one, after just a lot of different stuff happening in that one with Shane and Vince and all that stuff. And so having the beer party in the middle of the ring now. So, yeah. So PWI, this WrestleMania taking place 1999. Austin, no surprise here. Austin number one, Rock number five. The torch on this one, there was no slow build in the early minutes of this match. They got in each other's face before the bell and brawled to the ringside with 5 seconds. Within 5 seconds of the start of the match, they brawled in the crowd for a minute and then down the aisle to the entry area and threw each other into various contraptions. Pinned him. Before the match, Michael Cole introduced Jim Ross as the announcer for the main event. This match was not a match of the year candidate, but it had great energy. The timing, the chemistry was solid. The storyline surrounding the match played out effectively, and the crowd was into everything. 4 stars from the torch on that one.
So this is not a match of the we know in early or in late March, we know what is and is not going to be a match of the year candidate.
Yeah, stupid.
Okay, right. Got it.
So the Observer newsletter on this one, this was the best match of the night, hands down. With the Butterbean Bart Gunn, I don't know if that was bullshit, but that getting the second best match, sure. Okay. Pinned him in 16:52, all kinds of shenanigans. He went for another rock bottom, but Austin blocked it, hit the stunner for the pin after the match. Earl Hebner, who seemed way more excited about Austin winning the title, drank beer in the ring with Austin. Austin decked Vince after the match and delivered another stunner and poured beer on him to end the show. This was a really good main event, but not at the level of heat of their Raw match last year or even their tag match in San Jose 2 weeks ago. 3.5 stars. So you got 4, 3.5. Tom, what are you thinking?
Man,
I'm going high. So
I'm a 9. This was like, I mean, what more do you want? You've two of the biggest stars ever in one of the best feuds and, you know, kind of combinations. You throw in the Vince thing, arguably the greatest heel in the history of the business. And then the whole Austin McMahon thing. Foley's a fun addition. Crowd goes nuts. It was like 15 or so minutes, really, really tight, all action. I mean, I'm a 9, and I almost feel like that's low. I almost feel like it could be a 9.5 or 10. I don't know. I don't know what would have made it better. I'm like at least a 9, and I could even be higher. I loved it. What about you?
Yeah, I'm at a 9 too. I kind of feel like I have to be. Like, it is really good. There's so much storytelling. There's so much happening. Like, how can you not enjoy it? Plain and simple. So that's where I'm at. Yeah, absolutely. Just really, really great stuff. Plain and simple. Yep. So with that, let's send them home happy. Well, of course, don't want to forget, as always, Manscaped, using that promo code PAYOFF, 20% off, free shipping, everything in the store. It doesn't matter if you're looking for the lawnmower 5.0, a weed whacker, or whatever you need. Make sure to go to manscaped.com. Use our promo code as you're checking out. Add it. Apply that code PAYOFF, getting you 20% off and free shipping. So with that, Tom, what do you got?
This is great. This was a lot of fun. Good work on this one. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll see you next week on an all-new episode of The Payoff.